Hi, this is Garrett Wong, Ensign Harry Kim from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trekmate.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trekmate podcast. Its continuing mission, to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses. I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Hello and welcome to Trekmate. My name's Wayne Emery.
Hello everybody, my name's Jude Hawkins, and as I'm sure you've probably seen on the description of this week's episode, we are taking a break from our new Enterprise trilogy review, which we're loving, by the way. I hope you enjoyed that first one. And the reason we're doing this is because we thought, let's be current for once and let's discuss the first episode, the second season of Picard. Wayne pointed it out to me last week that it's on Amazon, and I felt it. You know, it's our duty to watch it. So we've both done that now, and I just thought, yeah, why not discuss it?
And we was tempted to also do the Enterprise one, but then Jude and I have just spent the last 40 minutes making an application video for Hunted.
That's right, yeah, and so that's why I text Wayne earlier on just to say, look, it's probably easy, you know, if we go long on the Hunted application, which maybe we'll share with you one day once it's edited, maybe. And stuff, and it's not in the hands of the TV guys anymore. Yeah, like we could talk about Picard, so then if we've only got a certain amount of time, it should be fine.
Yeah. No, it's it's an interesting one because we very rarely actually touch on new Trek other than slagging it off.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of my feelings are already out there, and just the way I described it in the beginning, like I feel like it's our duty to watch it. Like when you first told me that it was on Amazon Prime, like my first thought was just like, I'm going to have to watch it then. It wasn't like, yeah. Oh, is it? Oh, cool. You know, where there is, you know, programs what we talk about sometimes, either on the podcast or off the podcast, like the Shenmue anime, for example. Like when I know there's a new episode of that on, I'm like, yep, watching that right now, whatever time it is, as long as I've got a free 20 minutes. But with Picard, just, well, yeah, we've made our feelings clear on the first season. I'm not as down on that as I am Discovery. Where I'm just, you know, I've said on here, I'm done with that. Picard, like, I tried to give it a good old chance on that first season, and there was some stuff to like, but a lot not to like, a lot more not to like about it. So I think I was always going to be skeptical going into this second one, but because it's Picard, because it's Patrick Stewart, because it's, you know, potentially going to have many characters from the Trek that we love in there, like, you've got to give it a chance, I think.
Yeah.
And I will continue to. Like, I think my jumping off point would probably be the when we've actually said to each other on here, like, if they actually write, and I don't put it past them to do it, if they actually write out Patrick Stewart as Picard and like carry on the character, like where his soul's just been put into another android or another thing or whatever.
Well, the thing is, I think they've confirmed that season 3 will be the final season, and they filmed season...
Oh, they have they?
Yeah, and they filmed season 3 back-to-back with season 2. So they filmed season 2 and then carried straight on into season 3. So
okay, well that's reassuring to a degree that like they've got some sort of plan, you know.
Just because they've got an end date doesn't mean they've got a plan. I mean, this is CBS we're talking about.
No, I mean, you know, the fact that they've gone and filmed the whole thing, you know, doesn't mean it's going to be good or to everyone's liking or taste, but... Yeah. Anyway.
No, it's going to be... I don't know. What was your... Okay, how are we doing this, mate? Have you taken any notes?
I don't know. We'll just go with the flow. I'm changing my lights over in my house to the kitchen lights instead of the living room lights. Now we're done with our application.
So, did you take any notes, or are we doing this off?
No, I didn't take any notes. I just thought we'd wing it because it's fresh.
Yeah.
In our mind, freshish in our minds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so going in.
Well. Go on, yeah. Go with what you were going to.
I say going in. First of all, I was okay. People are going to think that I'm just shitting on the program all the time, but I'm not.
No, we just got to be honest, haven't we?
I was confused at first because I first of all thought that we were seeing a flashback because in the opening sequence. We had the TOS movie style phasers.
Oh, yes, and I remember the opening scene now, yeah.
And we also had the TOS red alert sign, because normally on the Enterprise D and stuff, you'd get the red lights, but also you would just get like a thing saying red alert. You wouldn't get like the actual circle symbol from the TOS movies.
Often they'd just say it, wouldn't they? Just say it like once. It was just the noise once. And it's like, okay, you know it's happening. We don't have to keep going on about it.
Yeah.
Like they used to.
And also, I felt that the lighting for the red alert was a bit overdramatic because it, like, how are you meant to fucking operate? Like run, you run down the corridor and it's just dim, dark red. You can't see jack shit.
Yeah. No.
But so
it's not ideal, is it?
No, so you was faced with those three characters, but that was just my initial thought of it first of all felt like it was going to be a flashback.
I didn't know what to think in those first 5 or 10 minutes where I just felt like it was all over the place. You had mentioned in a text to me, I think, that, you know, you'd watched it before me and you said, you know, see what you think. But, like, I was a little disappointed. I think you said you were a little disappointed and there was, like, slight vibes of Discovery there. And I was like, okay, yeah, it's not too surprising, but, like, I'll watch it. But that's what I felt in the first 10 minutes. You know, I don't know what you were referring to, but when I watched it, it was just like, I felt like, oh, you're trying to please me. You're trying to please the old fan by like, oh, look at these uniforms. Oh, listen to this sound. Look at these weapons. You know, it's like, well, that doesn't match that. That doesn't match that. That doesn't make any sense. You know, like it's good in a way, like tickling those little nostalgia parts of your brain, but...
Mm-hmm.
I've been through this with Star Wars where, you know, the recent Star Wars films they put in the cinema, I really enjoyed them in the cinema. And it wasn't until I got home where I was just like, did they just con me there? Did they just fool me? You know, it's like, hey, remember this character? Hey, remember this ship? Hey, remember this thing, that thing? And it's like, when you get home, you're like, it's not really a film though, is it? Like,
yeah,
you know, there's no story there. There's no substance there. And that's the way I've started to feel with modern Trek, where it's like, it's almost like I can hear the writers or producers or whatever backstage sort of saying, oh, we're losing them. We're losing them. We're losing the TNG fans. Like, stick this in there. Stick that in there. And that's how I kind of felt. Like, There was aspects, bits of it I liked. Like I said, you know, it was cool seeing like L cars and uniforms, and I like seeing parts of Picard on his vineyard and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as it went on and like they like revisiting these characters from season one, which I didn't care about then.
Well, that's the thing. It's like
care about less now.
Yeah, it's when they pan straight to the bridge and one of the first faces that you see is Agnes Jurati, the doctor, the girl doctor. And I'm like, why the fuck did she not go to jail? That was the
it
first thing.
It makes no sense.
It's like, she murdered people. She should be in jail. And I was like, why is she on this bridge? And then we...
I just don't know if it's the new writing style where it's like, yeah, but she's funny, guys.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that she's a murderer, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
This is new Trek. It doesn't matter because she just told a joke.
Yeah. And then also we find that the new captain of the current captain of the Stargazer is Rios.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I know he was a former commander in Starfleet previously before like going off of the rails because he didn't agree with his captain like following that order to kill people and whatnot. But I don't know if this is just me being petty. I didn't understand why he would suddenly be the captain of this new ship.
I'm with you. It's the same as the other character, and it's like the writers are saying, just because.
And also,
just 'cause he is.
And also, the thing is, captains, as far as Starfleet go, when you look at the great captains of Trek, they're all professional. They're all, it's a military.
One way or another, yeah.
Like Dominic would say, it's a military organization. They need a level of professionalism.
Yeah.
To like command that ship, and he's sitting there with a fucking cigar,
an unlit cigar the whole time.
Yeah, and because everyone in the future they'd be like, "You prick, don't you know that causes cancer?" I know we can just like beam it out of your body, but still,
which is true. But at the same time, why even bloody bring it on board then?
It doesn't make you look cool; makes you look a dick.
Yeah,
yeah. So I really feel like they're just trying to push his push him as, I don't know, the new writer.
I felt the same. Well, yeah, you could say that. Someone could say that. I'm not going to say that.
No.
But I just feel like it's the same as Discovery, where it's just like, oh, look at these characters. They don't quite fit into a Star Trek mold, but that's why it works, guys, because they're edgy, they're fucking stupid and annoying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, infinite diversity. It's like, no, he's a prick.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. You know, they went to great lengths to establish this universe and this way of life, especially for the humans in Starfleet, but just in general, over 5 series of Star Trek, where I really felt like it was an amazing progression for me as a fan, you know, from TOS, which I'm so grateful for TOS existing and giving all the other ones a chance, but I'm a TNG kid, and I think they really sort of painted the picture even more. You know, Gene Roddenberry really sort of made the effort to say, "Nah, this is what I want. This is what I want it to be." Like, we've moved on in time, and I know there's some things he didn't do right, and other people did better, like Rick Berman and stuff. But you know, that universe was really fleshed out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Voyager and Deep Space Nine, I think it just got even better and deeper into things, like just the way people act and the characters are built and. You know what Starfleet is. It's something to like respect and stuff. And then Enterprise, I absolutely love. Where I think they just nailed it. Where they took all the previous seasons, and then we jump ahead to now, and it's just silly bollocks, and fan service and action. And I know those things can be fun. Like I can sort of get some level of amusement from those things. But I'm definitely speaking for me, but I feel like I must be speaking for other people. They're not the sort of things where I'm going to watch it over and over again. I will watch TNG and DS9, etc. for the rest of my life, over and over and over. Mm-hmm. But the only way that I'd watch this stuff over and over again is if I watch it for our podcast and just say, like, let's give it another try. What did I not see the first time? What was I not appreciating? But even then, I admit that would be an effort to do so. At this time, it's just like, it just seems like a shame to me. It's not awful, but it's not even good. It's just barely all right, you know, because like certain things are making me go, oh, there's this character, there's that character, there's that ship.
Yeah. And the thing is as well, it's like, okay, you got that entire like scene building with Picard and Laris, the Romulan.
Yeah.
I didn't mind those scenes. The only thing that it did make me, because we're spending like a little bit more time with her, it did just make me think, why would you have a Romulan with an Irish accent?
I know, I thought that the first time round. And those scenes, I did sort of like them, but it was very obvious where it was going. Like,
yeah.
The whole time, it was like 30 to 40 seconds before dialogue happened. You knew where it was going the whole time.
Yeah, we all know Picard's married to the ship. He's married to the uniform.
And I didn't know how I felt about the, you know, abusive marriage family or whatever, you know, Picard was in. And it's just like,
yeah,
oh, just ignore me being beaten up, like young Picard, like just look to the stars. And it's like, really, that's why he's this great captain, because he didn't want to see his mum get, you know, beaten or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, well, I'd say the same. Like, I feel like if that was a thing, okay, I could accept that. But 7 years of TNG and those movies, you couldn't have made, if that was somebody's plan all along, like this is why Picard went into Starfleet, because he was escaping an abusive father,
mm-hmm.
husband to his mum, you know, like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't he open up to Crusher or someone like that, or Data even, whoever, you know, like.
But also, you never, I'm not sure if I'm right, because I haven't got there yet with my TNG rewatch, but I'm pretty sure in like the episode after Best of Both Worlds, when he goes home and sees his brother and stuff, it's only ever insinuated that Picard went into Starfleet because like he wanted to explore. He wanted to be this big explorer. It was never any sort of inclination of escapism whatsoever.
Yeah. I guess I didn't like it. I didn't know how to feel, but at the same time, part of me resented it, I guess, is how I would put it. I was just like, really? You know, all the TNG that you had, all those movies that you made, and like, if there'd been something in there similar, you know, that hinted towards that, I'd be more open to it. But because it's on this show and he's like 80 bloody years old or more in storyline, maybe, like, I just like, really?
And also, I know I'm going to be jumping like way ahead, but we can reel it back in. But it, what then additionally wound me up about that was the fact you get that scene where like his mum is like, just look to the stars, Picard, like Jean-Luc, just look to the stars. And then right at the end, when the Borg Queen has beamed over, it looks like fucking Burnham's mum when she had that spacesuit on. And like, it's like, oh, it's the winged angel. No one knows. It's a big fucking mystery. And then suddenly the Borg Queen has got a BDSM gear, like her. Well, she's always had BDSM gear, but her full BDSM gear get up going on, and you don't see her face, and then she's like, "Jean-Luc, look to the stars." It's like, fuck off! Don't give me that Discovery bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that is a playbook straight out of Discovery with Burnham's mum.
It's probably because it is going to be Burnham's mum or Burnham.
Yeah.
That's why. Under the mask, that's who it's going to be. It's like, oh, didn't you know? It is Burnham.
It was me, Picard. It was me all along.
I bet it's going to be. I know we're joking around, but I bet it's going to be. Somehow, some way. Like, it's already been predicted. It's already been, like, talked about online. I'm sure of it. Can we get Burnham into Picard? Is there a way we can do it? It's like, well, yeah, it's all you've been doing for the last 2 years. Let's go anywhere we want in space and time. So why not?
But, yeah, so that... The Borg Queen got on my tits. Because I was just like, you want it to be the Borg Queen? Make it the fucking Borg Queen. And don't get me wrong, I know the Borg Queen
and
is...
And plus she's saying catchphrases and stuff, like saying, oh, too late, Sonny Jim, like stuff like that. And it's like, what? Yeah. Why would a Borg talk like that?
Yeah, I just... And then also, you had the whole thing of, she's not killing anyone, she's just stunning people. Well, that's great. However, she's taking over your fucking ship.
Yeah.
But also, in that one scene, I didn't understand why they're like, do something, Picard. Do something, Picard. You're the fucking captain of the ship, Rios.
Yeah.
You should be the one
He's just a droid or whatever he is, posing as an old man. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
the thing.
Don't
worry about him.
Yeah. Don't fucking ask Grandpa Android to sort things out. At that point, if you know that your ship is being taken over and you've got like minutes left, you should have set that self-destruct.
Yes, I agree. Completely in story.
That
should have been the case.
In any episode of TNG, would Picard have let some fucking old admiral come along and set the self-destruct?
Definitely not.
No! And also, Picard's
he would authorization... have got Worf to jump on him or something like that.
Yeah, but
and just assumed that the admiral was been taken over by a worm or some, you know.
Yeah, but also at the same point, doesn't it need two officers to authorize self-destruct?
Yeah, I thought that too.
But saying that, is it okay because he's an admiral? That'll be the get-out clause of, oh, he's an admiral, he doesn't need...
Maybe. But is that the code he used? Is that specific to that ship? Is it specific? Is it for all ships?
Because, he can just destroy any ships.
Yeah, just like, this is the code to destroy the ship I just happen to be on right now.
Yeah, but also, don't you did you catch his authorization code? It was like the worst like ATM PIN number that you could think of. It was like, computer, self-destruct the ship. Authorization, Picard, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or it was something so simple. It was like 0000001.
Maybe it's just like he hasn't got time for, not for that is techno babble, but like he's got enough power now. He's like an executive producer on the show and stuff. Like, I'm sure if like there's some scriptwriter saying, oh, it's this number, it's 94120 67986. He's like, I won't remember 0001. Yeah.
It you will have matter. This take and you will like it.
Yeah.
Well, can't you just make up some different numbers, Patrick? No. Come on, like, you just read them off the top of your head. Like 9764. Like,
yeah.
No. It shall be 0000.
Make it so.
One. Because I want to pay homage to number one. My dog.
Oh my goodness. Should we go back to the beginning of the show and come back to this scene in a bit?
Yeah, no, let's
try to.
Let's
jump. I can't fully remember.
One thing I appreciated, though, I think they done it a bit ham-fisted, was during the passing out ceremony, like the graduation at Starfleet Academy, just seeing that Elnor had joined Starfleet, the Romulan kid.
Yes.
Though I did think in that case, a lot of time has passed. Because
how much time has passed? Because did they even say?
No, they haven't. They haven't said how long has passed. But
it must have been a bit of time for that to happen.
It was a graduation, though, wasn't it? It wasn't like a induction into Starfleet Academy. Yeah, because if that was a graduation,
because
of Starfleet,
him and the other lady, they're being like assigned ships and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. So I thought, okay, and a lot of time must have passed because, like, you're in Starfleet Academy for what, 3 years or something?
Yeah.
At least, like, obviously, like, you can become a like active working ensign like Nog was, but yeah, no, I just thought, like, well, okay, a good few years has passed because he would have had to have gone in, like, joined Starfleet first.
Yeah.
But, I
was a little bit lost with that, to be honest, like, because they've not explained it, I was like, oh, what's happened between here and there then? And, you know, the other lady who's like, who last we saw, she was with Seven of Nine for some reason, randomly.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, with her, you know.
Raffi,
okay.
Yeah, Raffi. But
it's just explained away with a scene with Picard where she's like, oh, Seven's just going to do what Seven's going to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, that's that then.
Yeah, that explains that. And also, one thing that they...
There's a bit of swearing in there as well, which, again, like, just like Discovery, I just think it's bollocks. It's just lazy.
I know we swear
what in the wrestling business they call a cheap pop. You know, just for someone saying, yeah, oh, he's an asshole, or you're an asshole. It's like, you don't need to say that. Like by that time, like, words like that would mean so little. But it wouldn't have the effect in the future, I would hope. But it does now.
No, you're right. It just becomes a part of language. But at the same time, with Raffi, I did wonder, I was like, when I saw her, I was like, are we going to find out finally if she managed to like make things up with her son? No, we're not going to mention that.
Yeah, just completely dropped that. I completely forgot that, to be honest.
Yeah. Because, I think the writers had it as well.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Yeah, they spent a while like building that, and then it's like, no, we don't care. So, but yeah, and Seven is now off playing pirate whatever his name is, Rios's ship.
Yeah.
And I don't think...
All I thought when I saw the scenes with Seven, honestly, is just when I've seen her and other people at conventions, and they've brought up the fact that years ago they wanted to put her in a movie with Patrick Stewart and combine them and have them be the main two stars. And I just kept thinking, like, well, they finally got their wish, didn't they? From all those years ago.
But I didn't feel like seeing what Seven was up to. She was just like being boarded by these raiders, and she was having a fight with them, and she took them down and then beamed them off onto some Federation ship. It felt empty to me. It's like I didn't dislike it. I didn't like it. It just felt empty.
Totally. 100%, yeah. I didn't hate it either. Definitely didn't love it. But it was just like, okay, I don't know what that was about, but what's next? That's how I felt watching it.
It's like, okay, so I don't know if I like where they've taken Seven.
I'm willing to keep watching and see what happens, see if it means something, you know, in the end. But
she's a smarter person than what they're getting her to do.
Mm.
She's like got the intelligence of like the entire Borg collective. She was the most important member of the crew on Voyager.
I mean, I guess it was sort of interesting, like her dialogue at the end of the episode where, you know, she's just saying to the, not Captain, but to Admiral Picard, you know, like, oh, don't trust them, they're Borg, you know, they've messed all these people over. You know, if anyone should know, I should know. I think that was the only sort of interesting thing she did for me in the episode. But mm-hmm. like that whole scene of like, oh, and you know, those scenes, sorry, at the last sort of 10 minutes of the episode where it's like, oh, we've got this voice message for you, Picard, saying, oh, come help us. It's like, it's obviously the fucking Borg. Like, we all know it's going to be the Borg. And they get there and it's like, oh my God, is it? Is it? Yes, it's the Borg. It's like, we all knew it was the Borg. How do you not know that was the Borg? Like, the way they're talking, the way it's recorded, and the fact that they're asking for Picard. Everyone fucking knows it. Unless you've never seen the program before.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And I just think the whole thing seems stupid, pretty much, apart from Seven just being like the voice of reason, saying like, don't trust them.
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah,
they always fuck us over. They're going to fuck us over again. Don't let her on the ship, Picard. He's whoever like, I've got to let her on the ship. I'm just going to trust them. For some random reason.
And also it's like, this rift in space has sent us a request to join the Federation. And then it's like, oh shit, it's the Borg. We should still trust them.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you on about?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I would say that Picard is senile, but he's an android or something.
Yeah, there should be.
I don't even know what he is anymore.
Yeah, he is an android.
He is an android.
Just with Picard's chakra, I guess.
Yeah, something like that.
But he's just... I don't know. It's... That makes no sense. And then...
So, okay, can we go back again? Because I don't want to keep going. That was me that time, jumping forwards. But yeah, I can't remember everything, but I'll just skip to him being in a bar. And unfortunately, the beginning of the program of Picard, they did exactly what TNG and DS9 used to do years ago, where they put the bloody special guest star's name in the credits at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And in the title sequence, and it's, oh, that always annoyed me back in the day, and it still does. It's like, God damn it! Why did you have to put Whoopi Goldberg's name in the titles? Like, I would have liked to have just seen that for myself and been like, oh, it's Guinan! But like, in the first seconds of the episode, you're like, oh, so Guinan's going to be in this then. I think when's she going to come into it?
I think that's more of a TV issue, because you don't think we would even get that with TNG, where it's like,
yeah,
and so-and-so as Sarek. It's like, oh, okay, we're seeing Spock's dad in this one. It's like,
yeah.
And John Delancey as Q.
Yeah, John Delancey was always the one where I'd be like, oh, this is a Q episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what they were, wasn't it? That, like, Q doesn't star in an episode.
No.
You know, he's not a special guest. He is the star. Like, they are mm-hmm. Q episodes. But yeah, seeing her name in it, I was just like, okay, well, that's not going to be, she's not just going to be walking past. Like, mm-hmm. that's going to be a significant scene. And I did like that scene. That was probably my favourite scene of the episode, because it was just like the Data scene from the last one, where it was just, they were tickling that nostalgic part of my brain so much, where it's like, okay, I'll let you off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am happy to see that character. I am happy to see this interaction. And even though some of the dialogue might have been a bit cheesy or cliche, it did work. I did like it.
Do you know what I'll say, though? A part of me did wonder, until I saw John Delancey, Part of me did wonder why, like with technology the way it is now, and Guy now being an Elorian, did they not want to spend the money on de-aging Whoopi Goldberg to keep her like pretty much the same age as TNG?
Yeah, yeah, I could imagine that, but they did throw in the line that she said, like, I'm just making myself look like this to make you feel better, basically.
Yeah, making people feel comfortable. It's like, why? Who in the fucking bar there has known you for the last 30 years that they're, like, that you're trying to make feel better? No, I know. They threw
I'll tell you what, actually, what would have been good is if they'd done a combination. Basically, if they did what happens later on in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyone who's listening to this, like, you're a fool if you're listening to us before you've watched the program. Like, you've just ruined the whole thing for yourself anyway. So, there's no spoiler warnings now. But, yeah. But John DeLancey comes in later in the episode. And they do some great CGI on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where he's looking like young Q. And when I saw that, I was like, that looks great. That looks awesome. And then he just sort of went, oh, I'll just come to your level, Picard. I'll look how you look, and just turns into modern day John DeLance. They could have you know, if they were going to do the same joke or line twice, they could have done the same gimmick twice. They could have done that for Guinan as well.
Yeah,
just have her be in the bar as younger Guinan, and then she also chooses to go old somehow.
But that's the thing. I don't know what powers Elorian has. She never showed us what was going to come out at the end of her fingertips.
Yeah, so she could have just been eating loads of pies for the last few decades.
Yeah, so, but... And
to be fair, Whoopi Goldberg, in that scene, she doesn't look old. She just looks wider, mm-hmm. shall we say.
Yeah. Which is fair. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg must now be like in her 70s now.
Yeah, she's got to be somewhere around there. Yeah, she's been around for a while.
Yeah, and but as you said, they explain it with a throwaway line, and I'm fine with that. I enjoyed the scene with him and Guinan.
I think that was my favourite of the episode. Like, basically, the scene with Q, I liked it, but I came away just thinking, like, oh, that CGI was great. And my other thought was, and anyone who's a long-time listener of the podcast know what I'm going to say, they took Wayne's storyline. Literally, you not only pitched that on this podcast, you passed it. Like, you passed it on to John Carrigan, who passed it on to writers, or he said he was going to.
No, I saw a picture of him giving it to one of the writers.
I was like, that is literally Wayne's storyline, like almost word for word. It's on this podcast somewhere where, like, the trial never ended, Picard. And it's like, fucking hell, that's exactly Wayne's pitch. Like, nearly, it's not a bad pitch, so I don't blame
Picard
them for...
to be dead. But wait, no, he did die. They blew up. Yeah, they blew up the ship. Okay. I wanted it more as, like, a permanent resolution at the end. Like... But yeah, no, you're right. He did die, and he did get greeted, I suppose.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I liked it. But yeah, I think the Guinan one trumped it for me because it was longer and more sort of heartfelt. The talk, but it definitely made me interested to see. Okay, what comes next?
John DeLancey turning up. Also made me think. Okay, then so. Was everything up until that point leading to the Borg Queen being on the ship? Was that him pulling at the strings, like creating this vortex? Or because, like, what's made him turn up?
I'm going to guess no. I think he's just, you know, he's all seeing and everything. And he's just like, oh, this is weird. You know, this has happened before, hasn't it? Basically, a couple of times. This is where I usually step in for you. Like, whenever you're about to die and whenever you're in big trouble. Oh, no, actually, it was him who put him in front of the Borg the first time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I am actually intrigued to see where it goes. I'm sure episode 2 is going to have its share of crap stuff going on.
And then also sent him to explore like the path not taken, and Picard wakes up with like a mirror universe sort of version of himself.
Oh yes, he did, didn't he? Yeah, I forgot. It didn't end with Q. It ended with that. Yeah.
Yeah, because then, but also the
That could be interesting. It you know, depending on what they do with it. They could ruin it. It could be good. We'll see.
The picture that they had of Picard, like mirror universe Picard, like on the painting, reminded me very much of the IDW comic that they had done recently. I haven't read it, but seen the art of the.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've seen all the art, and I don't know how I've not read that. I really don't know why I've not gone and picked that up. There's no good excuse, to be honest.
No. I need to make a public apology. Whoopi Goldberg is actually 66 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Whoopi.
I aged you by about 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, do apologise. Aging you. But, yeah. No, so it's...
I'm not going to apologise to her. And I'm not going to say why.
She's like, she deserves it.
She's been saying some stupid bollocks recently in public, but I'm not going to comment. Oh, yeah, just look it up. Just put, like, what stupid bollocks has Whoopi Goldberg been saying in public lately, and you'll go,
it's probably anti-vax or something. Oh,
no, worse than that. Oh. But let's skip that. Let's.
Okay.
I think we pretty much covered everything, though.
I haven't... I'm now at a point where I don't want to know what the stars in shows that I like. I don't want to know what they think politically. I don't want to know what
sometimes they think. Sometimes it's best not to, yeah.
Because afterwards I'm like, how am I meant to like you now? You're such an arsehole.
Yeah, it sucks when that happens.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you might be nice to these people and nice to that people, but however, if you hold that opinion, I think you're a cunt.
Yeah, and it's a shame with someone like Whoopi Goldberg. I'm not going to say what she said, but yeah, when they're in so many things you like, you've heard them say so many sensible things over the years, and you just think, you know, you're a voice of reason, and then you just come out with a couple of really fucking stupid, insensitive comments. It's like, what the fuck? Where does that come from? Mm-hmm. But yeah, also, sometimes stars can... you know, be worse than that, where they're just full on. Like, I was just listening to a wrestling podcast earlier on talking about Ultimate Warrior. I don't know if you know what a racist, sexist, bigot asshole he was. Like, hundreds of thousands of kids around the world like loved that guy in the 80s, but he was absolute shithole outside of work. Politically. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Picard, yeah, I'm intrigued for episode 2. It's a little bit all over the place, I suppose, episode 1. There's bits I liked, lots I didn't. Or more lots of stuff I didn't care about rather than didn't. A few things I didn't. Some things I liked. A lot where you're just indifferent, where it's just like, oh.
Yeah, I think there was, for me, I thought I would brand the, overall, I'd say the episode was okay.
Yeah, I think that's a fair rating, in a word, two letters.
It's like, there were certain things that I liked, there was other things I was indifferent about, and then there's other things that was just like, oh, don't shove that down my throat.
Hmm.
It's like, it's just certain things that didn't make sense to me. I'm just like, don't, please don't.
It's weird. When I clicked off the episode on Amazon Prime, and then I saw, like, sometimes they'll advertise what their main program of the week or the main program of the month is at the top of the screen, like, as an advertisement on their own thing. I could see it was Picard. And I was like, oh, I saw that before I clicked onto the program, and I never even took in that on the banner it says Picard and it's a picture of Picard and Q.
Yeah.
It just didn't take... I'm glad it didn't. Yet the irony is, like, I even put it in a text to you saying, like, oh, they've gone and done the whole John Delancey thing, like, by spoiling that Whoopi Goldberg's going to be in it. Like, I'm not sure that I saw his name at the beginning, John Delancey. Maybe I've just, like, become immune to it. Maybe it was on there and I didn't even think about it. But I didn't know he was coming. So when he came on at the end, I was like, oh, that was actually a surprise. That's how I want it to be every time.
Christ. I do want to rewatch it again just to make sure of my opinions.
Oh, I'll rewatch all of Picard at some point. Like maybe at the end of season two, I'll go watch one and two. I definitely
think
it has more of a chance of winning me over than Discovery. It just burned me too much.
I just hope that we're not going to get just constant soulless phaser fights for no reason.
Oh, I agree. I mean, they can be fun, but yeah, I agree. You don't want that. You want it to mean something. Whether it's a phaser fight or whether it's a full-on ship battle, you know, space battle, whatever you want to call it, like it's got to mean something, which in all the old Trek, it did. Like, it always built up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it happened, it was so cool because you had all these characters fighting over all these different things, you know, and it just built up and built up. And then when you finally got that CGI battle, well, not always CGI, but you know what I mean. It'd just be like, this is cool, you know. And you're thinking about all those people, whichever race it is or faction it is, being killed on these ships when they blow up. But now in the modern Trek, you don't care. Yeah. Like, you have like five ships like blow up and you're just like, oh, right. Yeah. You don't think about the fact that like thousands of people just died in the name of this or that.
So pretty much our message to CBS at this point is take your time, slow down. We don't just want to come with no foreplay.
Yeah.
If you come too quickly, no one enjoys it.
Yeah, and we want to keep coming back and watching this for years to come. That is the beauty of all the other Star Trek.
Yeah. And so far, I haven't revisited season one of Picard.
No.
And that might say something. I tell you what, got to give props to him for one thing. At least the fleet wasn't all one ship this time.
Yeah, I was just thinking that a second ago when I was talking about battles. Yeah.
But also, the majority of them all seem to be older ships, like Excelsior class ships. Other things. I was like, oh, fucking hell, they pulled them out of mothballs. I don't know if it's just my eyes. I didn't see any Sovereign class or any other things like that, but they seem to have grabbed some other random ship designs to just whack in there.
Yeah, again, I don't know. For me, I don't know if that's just like fan service stuff where it's just like, oh, just put this in there for the TNG kids. You know, for the 40-something, 50-something TNG kids, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it'll be interesting. We've got episode 2 coming up soon. We might touch on that.
I saw today it says Friday, so it's every Friday.
Yeah, it's every Friday, so we're only on Tuesday, so we've still got a few. And I'm away this weekend, so we won't talk about it until next week. But I think next week, because we're not going to be recording a Hunted application next week, we'll probably fit in both a talk about Picard and second episode of Enterprise.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that. I actually ended up watching the third one in that trilogy first because you hadn't realised it was part three of a trilogy, and I really enjoyed it. It's a very good one, but I'm looking forward to watching the middle one. You know, part two.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. So I do apologise. It's my fault that we're not doing that this week as we wanted to record
No, it's all right. It's not all on you. It was my suggestion. I said, you know, seems we've both just watched Picard and it's potentially going to be a shorter conversation. I don't have to take notes as well. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I just think it makes sense. And plus, you know, even if I'm like dragging my heels and stuff on some of the new Trek, like, I got to believe for the people that listen to Trek, mate, like, sometimes they probably do think, oh, come on, guys, just pull your finger out. Come on, Jude, yeah. Pull your finger out. Like, watch this program so I can hear what you guys think. Because it's just nice to know, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
What other people think.
Because it's like, at some point, I'll get round to watching the Nickelodeon show, Prodigy, at some point.
Oh, God, I'd completely forgotten it. I was going to mention Lower Decks. I've still not watched Lower Decks season 2, and that's one where I feel the tiniest bit of guilt where I'm like, I really should watch that, and I just never get around to doing it. But it did, season 1, it did start to win me over as it got right to the end. It was like, these characters are finally growing on me a bit. I know it's all silly and stuff, but they finally started to grow on me, and I think that's one that I could do a rewatch of at some point, but I will watch season 2 first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you watched it all, didn't you?
I have watched it all. And for me personally, it's just another...
Okay.
considering the both series as a whole, I think my disappointment with it is just the humour doesn't hit with me.
Yeah, and it didn't with me. We did discuss it a little bit before.
Yeah.
When it first came out, and that was how I felt. Like, it was just, oh, I don't know.
I just I just wanted it to be as funny as something.
Orville.
Yeah, exactly.
Orville, honestly, like, I think Orville is magic. Like, that's one where I have rewatched it now. It's on Disney Plus, if anyone doesn't know. Which I'd been looking to buy Blu-ray. The Blu-rays don't exist. You can only get it on DVD in the UK, as far as I can tell.
Which in this day and age is a bloody travesty.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Bizarre why you wouldn't put that on Blu-ray. Because I was willing to buy it for like a good price as well. And I was just like, surely it's going to come out. It's going to come out. And then it's like, oh, it's on Disney Plus. Okay, I'll watch it on there.
Yeah.
But I think it's awesome. Like, the first time around, I wasn't sure, because you're comparing the old shows to the new shows and the new shows to each other, like Lower Decks and Orville. But
yeah,
now I've realized that it hits such a sweet spot, the Orville, where it ticks all those boxes of all the old TNG stuff, but just with a modern splash of humor in there. And it's just the right amount where it's not too much.
Watching that, it really makes me like just wish, like, if only CBS had made made Seth
had made
the showrunner,
made a deal with Seth MacFarlane.
If Seth MacFarlane was the showrunner for Star Trek,
it would have made a huge difference.
How good
they'd be flying.
There is some mirror universe out there where Seth MacFarlane was given the keys to the kingdom.
I mean, it's funny because, like, I know it's not Trek, but it's like my favorite new Trek is the Orville, and the new Trek that I'm looking forward to watching the most is season 3 of the Orville. It's not Trek, but it is. Mm-hmm. It's more Star Trek to me than the shows that are claiming to be Star Trek.
And
why they can't take the hint. You know, I can't believe that CBS aren't watching that and saying, like, oh, that does work. You can make it, you know, have the values and stuff of these old shows, but then have a modern twist on it, you know, with maybe a bit more silly violence, or not violence, but you know what I mean? Just a modern twist with the humor and the look and stuff.
And I think season 3 is going to be their final season.
Oh,
For the Orville.
By the way, just a shout out to Darren in general for your comments every week. Cheers for that, mate. Just all of them. I know we don't always read them out. But top bloke.
because Jude's never on Facebook, I always do forward them on to Jude.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you both. But I'm pretty sure that Darren said that we were talking about the Orville. I'm sure he said, like, oh, the trailer for season 3 looks great. I'm not sure that I've seen the trailer.
I haven't.
But I feel like I don't need to. Like, I'm already there with bells on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to watch it right now.
Yeah, no, I'm apparently, well, Orville season 3 is supposedly set to release on March 10th.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's like a couple of days.
Yeah, I'm gonna Google that itself, because I think season 3 is going to be the final season.
Is that for UK, not just American apps or channels?
UK release date. Live Googling has... Okay, wait. That might be an old article I was looking at previously. The Orville, aka, will now premiere on... it will now premiere on Hulu on June 2nd.
And is that for Americans, though?
Yeah, and it's going to be on Disney Plus.
On the same date?
It hasn't confirmed that, but going by other things, currently The Walking Dead is airing the same week on Disney. It's airing like a day later on Disney Plus. Where, like, that gets shown on Fox in America, and then it's, like, the day after over here.
Oh, that's... If that comes out in June in England, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
so... That's something to really look forward to. Like, I can't really think of a program that I would be looking forward to more than that at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you, before we go... I also ran across, like, when, like, you know how, like, when you turn on your Internet Explorer on your phone? Internet Explorer. Fucking, how old am I?
Oh, back, well, I've been to the library today. They still use it.
And they, like, they give you, like, recommended news articles and stuff. One caught my eye. Which said, like, John Billingsley reveals why he turned down returning to Star Trek. Okay, so supposedly,
just for the record, he is in the Orville.
Yes,
and he's very good in that one episode. Really good sort of twist. Well, obviously he's not playing Phlox, but like as an actor, the character he plays in The Orville, if you've not seen it, is very different to Phlox, and it's very well done.
Yeah. Oh, he is. He's brilliant in that. Him with Bob Picardo.
Yeah.
As well. Okay, so actor John Billingsley has revealed why he is not going to show up in the upcoming new show, Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And when I heard that, I was like...
I forgot that one. Bloody hell, there's loads of them in there.
That's coming out soon. I thought, fuck, that would actually make sense. They could write Phlox into Strange New Worlds, because we don't know how old Denobulans live up to, do we?
And plus, so he's, like, covered in prosthetics.
Yeah, I was like, shit.
And saying that, he looks bloody good.
Yeah. It's like, so you could potentially put him or T'Pol in there. Because they're both, like, alien species. They don't necessarily have to be dead or, like, ancient by that point.
Yeah.
So, okay, then. Billingsley played Chief Medical Officer Dr. Phlox on Star Trek Enterprise for 4 seasons as part of the main cast of the prequel show, along with Scott Bakula. However, he is firmed that he is not returning to the world of Star Trek for at least this other prequel show, Strange New Worlds. In an interview with TrekNews.net, Billingsley explained that it was pretty simple. He did not want to audition. He had, he says, I was asked to audition for a small supporting part on Strange New Worlds. So that's not even Phlox. And he said, and I said to my agent, could you just let them know that I was on Star Trek?
Yeah.
And then turned it down. So he was insulted that CBS just asked him to audition for this little bit role when it's like,
he's been on
Star Trek. It's like,
I don't know what it is with the people in charge there. They just seem to have no respect for history.
Mm-hmm. It just baffles me. It's like, okay, if you want to get some of the people from the old shows on, that's great. Get them on. However, asking him to audition, did you even know he was on it? Or
was he just looking at his mugshot? It sounds like they kind of didn't, yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right. Oh, can I tell you something? And tell me if I told you it last time.
I suddenly got something stuck in my throat, but no, this little tickle in my throat. And unfortunately for the listeners, I might not even remember to edit this out.
Oh, it's
So, but yeah, no, it's just that was crazy when I read that.
It's insulting. I feel bad for the guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, not just him, but all Star Trek actors, because they're like they're just with such little regard by CBS, unless it's like the big hitters like Patrick Stewart. They don't give two shits.
No, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also, I was just gonna go on. What, you're gonna say something else?
No, you go first, mate.
Oh, mine was sort of related but unrelated. I was going to bring it up on one of our previous episodes. I don't think I did. It's weird. Like the other day I was watching, it was the morning, like most mornings before I take my son to school, they have back to back, what's it called? Everybody Loves Raymond. Just an American sitcom from like 15 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
In the mornings on Channel 4, and there was a scene where Ray and his wife go to like a book reading in a bookshop, and basically I remember thinking to myself as I was watching it, like, oh, wouldn't it be interesting if the actor who plays the author of this book, who's going to read their book, is a Star Trek actor. I just thought that in my head. But now I realize that maybe the reason for I was thinking that is because I've actually seen every episode of Everyone Loves Raymond like four times or four or five times over the years. And it was just buried in my memory that you're about to see a Star Trek actor, but you just can't remember who it is. But that's how my brain said it that day. Was like, wouldn't it be cool if it was a Star Trek actor? And it was. And I think maybe I had like Tim Russ in my head, someone like that, who might likely show up as a guest star and stuff. And it wasn't. It was a Star Trek actor. But I'll say this so you can guess. You don't know who I'm talking about yet, do you?
No.
The thing that made me pop, as I already said earlier on, wrestling reference, was... is the fact that this actor who was playing the author of the book that they're reading was wearing an eye patch. And because he was wearing an eye patch, it just made me go like, oh, yeah, when it came on.
Is it Martok?
So, well, close.
Oh, okay. So it's... So someone close to Martok, Gowron?
Yes, you're right. Sorry, it is Martok. I'm getting mixed up now. Yeah. J.G. Hertzler, yeah.
Excellent. So
when
he
you
still
said
had
Martok, my brain just translated that as Gowron. Like, I was like, no, not Gowron. No, yes, it
Wrong
was Martok.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, amazing.
But because he had the eye patch and that, like, they made a whole big deal over the next, like, scene of the fact that he's wearing the eye patch, like, I was just like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I don't know if that's a choice that someone made on that show. Like, oh, he's Martok. Mm-hmm. Like, get him to wear an eye patch. We'd make a joke out of it. And...
Yeah.
Oh, I took a picture of it. I took a picture with my phone so I could send it to you.
you've got to imagine that someone on the production team was a DS9 fan.
They must have been to do that.
That doesn't happen accidentally.
No.
Oh, I did.
But yeah, I know why. Here we go. I've got it here for you. I'm going to send it via WhatsApp.
I had another experience of noticing someone from Trek in something that I was just like, oh, I didn't realize I was in this.
Mm.
And 1 second, I'm just going to look at Jude's photo. Oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. Oh, seeing JG with, yeah, that's brilliant. Love it. Oh, dear. Yeah, no, my spot was, I wasn't watching it. It was just on. And in the, now I'm double checking it in my head. In the, I'm trying to remember what the fucking name of the film is. Oh, this is stupid.
It's not Nana Visitor, is it? Because you told me about that one the other week.
No. Okay, hold on 2 seconds. I'm reminding myself of the name of the film because I started talking and then it just fucking left me.
I tell you what, while you're doing that, I can slowly tell you that I'm supposed to be going to WrestleMania in Dallas, Texas this year. Like, I was just searching Stone Cold Steve Austin, who's supposed to be, one of the most famous wrestlers in the world ever. He's been long retired, but he's supposed to be making an appearance. And I just searched his name and just put like Stone Cold WrestleMania 38. And I put images. I went onto images. I think I went on there by accident on Google. And I swear to God, one of the first pictures that came up is this, what I'm about to send you on WhatsApp. I have no idea why it came up as one of the top pictures, but it just made me laugh. I was like, I've got to send that to Wayne. So random.
Austin action figure just like beating the head off of a Spock action figure.
Yeah. It's just so random.
You'd think
you'd only be able to find a picture like that if you were specifically looking for it.
There probably is more of us out there, mate, than you expect.
Yeah.
But, okay, I figured it out now. The reason why I started getting confused and doubting myself is because it was a film with the same actor. Because it was in Bruce Almighty. And for
Bruce
some reason,
Almighty, I've seen that.
Yeah, so my head was starting to... I was going to say it was what's it called? The one where he was... now my head's... This fucking film was in my head 2 seconds ago. The film where he didn't know he was in a TV show.
Oh, The Truman Show.
The Truman Show. I was going to go to The Truman Show, but I was like, no, that wasn't what was on. It was Bruce Almighty. And it's like, okay, yeah, of course it was. In Bruce Almighty, one of the guys in the... Because he's a TV anchor in Bruce Almighty. And one of the guys by the in the production room next to where the director is, is Max Gredenchik.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll definitely have to do a rewatch of that one just to see that. I've not watched that in years.
Yeah, he's got a few lines in it.
Oh, nice one. Well done, Max.
Yeah, so I was just like... I never noticed that before.
No, I won't have done either.
Yeah. So I was like, there you go. I was quite happy to notice that.
Yeah, it's nice when you see not just Star Trek actors, but Star Trek actors you really like pop up in movies and TV shows like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Absolutely.
One.
So... also, did you one other bit of news that came out since we podcasted before Christmas that we haven't touched on? Did you see that they have confirmed a new JJ-verse film?
No.
Yeah, they've
No, I've not seen that at all.
That Star Trek 4 is coming.
So is it the same cast, I take it?
Well, the thing is, right, they announced it when they were like doing a big like press junket, like showing off like what's coming to Paramount Plus and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they announced in that same bit that Star Trek 4 was coming with all of the original cast from the original movies. However, they didn't actually let the cast know before they put it out.
Oh my God, what is it with them and that? They've got a history of doing stuff like that, haven't they?
Yeah, so they announced that all of the cast were coming back before checking whether the cast were coming back.
Oh my goodness. That's just crazy.
It's like, okay, well...
And false advertising as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, so they... Like, but I think they are getting people signing off on it now. But yeah, I just thought, at this point, is a new JJ verse film what we need, though?
I don't know. I mean, it's so messed up, the world of Trek. The fact that we are spoilt for choice... But nearly everything that gets put in front of me, I'm like, don't like it, or, oh, it's all right. You know, nothing makes me go, that was really good. And I'm not necessarily saying that would do that, but it might make me at least go like, oh, that's the best Trek I've seen in 6-7 years or whatever.
But also, you never know. With now we've got so much new Trek coming out, whether you like it or not, and you've got so many new shows coming. With the JJ films, they the ratings on them, like the money that they were making, had gone down since like the last one was like the least successful of them. And
when I saw it, I thought it was my most enjoyable one. To be honest,
it is the one that I enjoyed the most out of all of them.
Yeah,
but so it just made me think, like, getting the same cast back like 6 or 7 years after the fact, and they're not a cheap cast.
No, they won't be. They will have only got more expensive.
And the people that the casual guys who might have wanted to go and seen that movie because they like saw the other movies. How likely are they to come back, like, 8 years after the fact?
You never know. Like, a lot of stuff these days can be sold just off trailers, can't they? Mm-hmm. Like, they could... It could be as simple as... You've got this new original cast back. But then, as long as you've got the right... just look at the second one. As long as you've got the right... big actors of the moment in there as your bad guys or your guest stars or whatever you want to say, like, it can work. Like Benedict Cumberswazzle as Khan or whatever he was supposed to be in the first few scenes. That largely sold that film, but like, you know, he's in Sherlock. He's in a bunch of other stuff. He's in even more stuff now. You know, he's a big, famous act. That's all you need. Honestly, like, say you have, like, Star Trek 4 starring, I don't know. I don't know who's new, but, you know, like Tom Cruise as your bad
Robert
guy.
Robert Downey Jr. Or...
Yeah, something like that. That's all it needs. And people will be like, oh, it's got this guy in it. Or this is different, you know. They don't need to be a long-time fan.
Another one that amazes me, like, why they don't get, like, approach big actors who they know are Star Trek fans, like Tom Hanks. Yeah. Or, like, there's loads of big Star Trek fans, like big actors that are Star Trek fans.
Get Quentin Tarantino to play a Klingon. He'd probably do it. Yeah. Like, they had all that talk back and forth, you know, didn't they? Teasing, like, oh, he might make a film. Like, he's not going to make a film. Like, he's saying, like, if you'd let me make a film, I'd make a good one. But, you know, obviously it'd be very Quentin Tarantino-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But him actually starring in the film would be a lot more likely, I think.
Yep.
He has starred in several films over the years that he's not made himself. And, you know, he has fun with it whenever he does that.
Also, I saw a clip from, I think it's a Graham Norton show or something, and like Ben Stiller is a big Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
As well. But so it's saying, I just Googled a second ago, like famous Star Trek Trekkies, and the top ones that came up were Mila Kunis, Rosario Dawson.
Oh, nice, get her in there. We say, every time we like recast a show, we always bloody put her in there anyway, don't we?
We fucking do. Me and you. Every single time. So it makes sense. Olivia Wilde, Ben Stiller, Tom Hanks, and Rihanna, the singer.
Yeah, I know that one. She actually did a song, didn't she, for one of the films or something like that.
Oh, did she? Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no, I never actually realised that. So, but...
And I'm sure there's even more than that.
Oh, there are going to be loads more. That's only just like a short list that the top of Google gave me.
And I'm not being funny, you know, I'm being honest and serious here. Like, there'll be a lot of closet Trekkie fans. Like, I've been one where I've just like, I really love that show, but I'm not going to tell anyone that. I'm not going to talk to people about it unless they talk to me about it first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it happens.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I could see how in the world of celebrity, how people would do that, you know, like they might think that, oh, this is going to ruin my reputation or whatever,
mm-hmm.
coming out as a Trekkie fan, as a Star Trek fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's just, I think as we go forward, there is far less and less stigma for people coming out as sci-fi fans.
Mm, yeah.
So I think it's like gaming.
It's definitely something to be proud of, I think, I would say.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Apparently Barack Obama was also a big Trekkie.
Oh, I could easily believe that. I always considered him to be a smart guy.
Yeah.
And a nice guy. Obviously, you know, it's tough to be in a role like that. You've got to do some shitty things sometimes. Clean up the mess of previous people in your role. I don't want to get too deep into politics, but yeah, I could see how he would be.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. So I think on that note, it's time to wrap up the show. Let us know what your thoughts were about. It'll be interesting to hear what everyone else thinks of
Picard.
Episode 1 of Picard.
Season 2, episode 1,
and we've got the new episode coming next week, and we'll be continuing on with Enterprise next week as well. So you've got that to look forward to, you lucky, lucky people. But thank you very much for listening. I've been Wayne Emery.
I've been Jude Hawkins, and that was Trekmate. Forward
scanner to bridge. I understand you gave up a career in bio research to sign aboard a starship.
I know he's alive down there, Captain.
Engineering control.
It's been 5 years since his last message.
Roger is a very determined man. He'd find a way to live.
Enterprise. Come in, Enterprise. This is Roger Corby.
To XO3 they went, where Dr. Corby sent the planet blue and filled with ice. At first the guard he died, Richard identified. Watch your step by the bottomless pit, yeah. At the party search, a giant looks like Lurch. His name is Rock and he's real cool. Nurse Chapel Cecil Brown, but his memory's down. He's an android in disguise. Cause that's what little girls are made of. Fashioned by the old ones that made us. That's what little girls are made of. Circuit boards that run. so his evil plan to replace all man is brought to life in Android Kirk. So Kirk convinces Rock and insults Mr. Spock. The old ones did the same thing once, yeah. Andrea kills a fake, oh what a pair they make. She kisses Corby, then they die. Nurse Chapel can't believe, and so she starts to grieve. Kirk is by her side, cause that's what little girls are made of. Fashioned by the old ones that made us. That's what little girls are made of too. Sugar and spice and everything nice. Circuit boards that rub men and mice. That's what Dr. Corby made us do. That's what little girls are made of.
Began to turn us off.
Isn't it Corby who's creating the same danger to you all over again? Like you, we humans are full of unpredictable emotion that logic cannot solve.
Yes. Yes, it has been so long ago, I had forgotten. The old ones here, the ones who made us. Yes, it's still in my memory banks.
Cause that's what little girls are made of. The old ones have made us. That's what little girls are made of too. Sugar and spice and everything nice. Circuit boards that love men and vice. That's what Dr. Corby made us do. That's what little girls are made of. Sugar and spice and everything nice. Circuit boards and rum and advice. That's what Dr. Corby made us do. That's what little girls are made of.
You've been listening to the Trekmate Podcast. Would you like to get a hold of us? Visit trekmate.org.uk and boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses. I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and I approve this message. Tweet us at Trekmate1701. Make it so.